Woo, thank you. That was awesome. Welcome. Welcome me back. No, I'm glad to be back, and I'm just welcoming all of you to be here together because this is an auspicious time. It's an auspicious time in your ministry. It is an auspicious time, if you're honest, in your own spiritual life, because you are invited to participate in bringing your next spiritual mentor, your spiritual counselor, your spiritual leader, the person who will be up here more than anybody else, all guests included, an opportunity for you to be a part of visioning not just that person, but really who you are, why you belong to a spiritual community, what do you need from it, what do you bring to it, and where do you want it to go? What do you want to become? These are big questions. You're not here by accident. You're here by divine appointment. You are on a mission. And it's my privilege to remind you about that and to offer some additional dreaming support to you. How many of you ever saw the Blues Brothers movie? The Blues Brothers movie, yes. Elwood and Jake, yeah? Well, funny, irreverent, goofy, silly, cool at the time, certainly. But one line, and you know where I'm going with this, that one line, we're on a mission from God, you know? We're on a mission from God to play blues. And I have to say, it stunned me a little bit. It kind of set me back. I wasn't expecting it. And what I got in that, because I do know that Dan Aykroyd and, you know, John Belushi had deep reverence for the blues. It was their religion, really, even as people. And, you know, Dan Aykroyd went on and created a House of Blues, you know, venues for people to really venerate that. I mean, temples to the blues, really. There's something about coming from a place of passion that it doesn't really matter what that thread is. It doesn't matter how it manifests or what form it takes, only that it comes from your soul. Only that you recognize that there is something that really wags your tail, something that pulls you from your heart, pulls you from the chest out. It's not a thought. Maybe it even goes beyond thought. It even is irrational. It's not even practical. It's not convenient a lot of times. But it is the truth of who you are and what you're here for. We're all connected by spirit from within. Spiritual community is a shared set of vision, a shared set of values. Unity of Wimberley's vision says we are an open-hearted, spiritual community powerfully transforming our world by honoring the sacred in all. Unity of Wimberley mission, you just said it, inspired by our shared spiritual awakening, we offer practical teachings that empower healthy, abundant, and meaningful living. This is what you say you are. This is how you say you do it. This is what you see the world becoming. And among the shared values on your website, I found a lot of what I consider to be descriptors, fingers pointing inward, all around the idea of community. Community shows up, of course, but so does diversity, inclusivity, fellowship, family. All of those are descriptors and enhancers of this idea that you are a community, no matter how loosely or deeply affiliated you think you are. You're here. You come and go, perhaps. Some of you are invested deeply. I invite you all to consider, what is your commitment to this community that you not only draw your sustenance from in some form or another, but also, what is it that you can contribute to it to enrich it, to strengthen it, to grow its reach, and to make it more vital and more important, and take it to the next level of changing lives, touching people, healing the world. What is community? Now, I'm a Bible girl, so if you've got a Bible allergy, I'm just going to say that I totally get that. As a Catholic, I was really not really trained much in the Bible. Gospels I knew back and forward, but a lot of the rest of it, I was told not to go wandering in the woods by myself, that I needed to have somebody take me by the hand. So I didn't really appreciate it or learn much about it until ministerial school, and I have just grokked it. I love it. Because it doesn't require faith. Put faith aside. You don't have to believe any word in it. You don't have to believe any of it. You just have to let it reach into something deep in you and let the words themselves or the context or the ideas, because they are the human story. They are all our story, one way or the other. 1 Corinthians chapter 12 says, if one part suffers, every part suffers with it. If one part is honored, every part rejoices with it. This is our understanding of oneness. This is our understanding of connection. This is how we are. It's not okay that if we belong to something greater than ourselves, even if we consider ourselves loosely affiliated, that in fact we are part of an energy field, and that we contribute with all of our dark thoughts as well as our light thoughts, with all of our actions, with our words, our good ones, our well-thought-out ones, and our, you know, lesser evolved words or whatever, all the things that come out of us, we contribute to the field. We matter. It matters. And so when we are suffering, feeling lonely, separated, forgotten, left behind, it brings the whole energy field down. It's a drain on the energy field. When there is rejoicing and lightness, it lifts everyone, even those who are on the periphery or suffering or not in a good place personally. It reminds them that there's resurrection. It reminds them that there's something new, something beyond this, that once again, they will be in a place of rejoicing again, even if it isn't today. Mother Teresa said, if we have no peace, it is because we have forgotten that we belong to each other. Innately, we are human beings, and human beings, we are calibrated for relationship. We are dependent, in fact, on our survival for that connection with one another. Never more so than today, never more so than now. As a community, it is more than just liking each other, loving each other, tolerating each other, getting along with each other, avoiding some of them, but loving some of the others. You know what we do. We do that. But in general, always happy to see one another. That's what you do. That's what this greeting thing is all about. But beyond just liking each other or tolerating or being in the company of one another, there's another calling to community which requires a mission, requires a vision, requires a purpose, something greater than yourself, something to contribute your energy to, something that you do together. It's not just who you are together. It's what you plan to be in the world together and how you go about accomplishing that. That is what is before you now. Because as you get clarity about that, as you define that as a community, then who you call to this ministry or who feels called to put in their hat into the ring here will feel that call, that energy field that will draw them with their gifts, their experience, and their own personal call to answer that in community with you, in friendship, in fellowship, in love, in leadership with you. Giving to your community as a ministry is something you already do. And participating in community service projects like the back-to-school program for low-income student households, which you're engaged in or have just done. I know that there are other areas that you've contributed to your community. I know that when you do your big fundraiser, 25% goes back. I pay attention to your newsletter, so I know what you guys do. And there's so much more engagement with the world that you also do just by being part of the diaspora on Mondays. You come together on Sundays, but then you melt back out into the communities, into your lives, into the other places where you bring your brand of perspective, vision, words, actions, in alignment with these things that we teach, the ways in which you strive to be the best person you know how to be, and the ways in which you love first, and then ask questions second. The world feels the difference in that. So you're at a sense of purpose, and that is also represented in the Bible. In a very special time in the Bible where Joshua has taken over the leadership of Moses. How would you like to be the one who took over the leadership of Moses? Moses. Jesus went up on the mountain and he saw Moses, right? Moses is not just any old guy. 40 years, I don't know if you can do the math, 40 years in the desert from the time that he helped free the slaves from Egypt and brought his people out, wandered around aimlessly in the desert because it really was a short trip over, but anyway. You know what? It takes what it takes, and it's only in hindsight that you see where you were really going, right? Right, okay. It takes what it takes. It's process. Joshua takes over from him. He's a very different kind of leader, but they need a different kind of leader now because they're not just wandering in the desert trying to decide who they are as community. They are now on a mission, and their mission is to claim the promised land. Politics aside, please shelve that for the moment. We're not going to go there, but let's just think about this metaphysically or symbolically for ourselves, that we go through stages. We need certain leaders at certain times in our lives. We need other mentors, counselors, therapists, partners sometimes, to lead us in another phase of our lives. Joshua is that one. He's a military leader. He's a leader of people, and he's taking over from Moses, and it requires now a recommitment of their covenant with God. Moses established that with the 12 commandments. I always say that. Then there's 12 powers, the 12 steps. It's the 10 commandments. You can tell I'm Catholic, right? Okay. Then Joshua assembled all the tribes of Israel at Shechem. He summoned the elders, leaders, judges, and officials of Israel, and they presented themselves before God. Joshua said to all the people, "This is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says." And he recounts their history from Abraham through Moses to the present moment. He reminds them, "This is who you are. This is how you got here." And then he says, "Now, fear the Lord and serve him with all faithfulness. Throw away the gods your ancestors worshiped beyond the Euphrates River and in Egypt and serve the Lord." He's inviting them to reconnect with essential purpose and vision anew. It's what we call seek ye first the kingdom. Let go of the things that brought you here and start to take a look at where you're going. Don't look at the ones around you. Don't look in the place where you are and draw your inference from where you are, but you're called on something greater. Something else is calling you, and only with an inner eye can you find that. It isn't necessarily somebody else's. It's something that's unique to you, something that you can feel inside of you. But if serving the Lord seems undesirable to you, then choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve, whether the gods your ancestors served beyond the Euphrates, your recent past or older past as a church perhaps, something inherited from some other place or something you brought with you from your distant past, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you're living now. Don't mistake this transitional phase for being the new thing. It isn't. It isn't yet. It's in form. It's forming. It's transforming. There's some up. There's upheaval. Don't take it lightly. Don't worry too much about it. The shifting and the changing, it's natural. Important even. Let it happen. Keep your bearings. But as for me and my household, we will serve the Lord. Then Joshua dismissed the people, each to their own inheritance. In other words, to the things they brought with them from the division up. They broke into the 12 tribes, and they broke into their groups, and they had their own inheritance. The same thing with you. You have special gifts. You have experience. You have wisdom. You have a calling. Your mission, your vision. Maybe it's a lifelong calling and you can bring it here. Maybe it's a new one that is showing itself now. There's a stirring in you for something new or different. It's not age related. It's not necessarily career. Can be, doesn't have to be. Just needs to be something that makes your tail wag. Something that calls you from the inside out. No one defines a ministry. No one person defines a ministry, no matter what their role is or how wonderful they are. Because this is the time that you are called to dream together what you will be together. Then you'll attract the perfect leader to walk with you and to make that dream a reality. But first, and before they get here, before they can identify, before you can recognize them, before they can find you, you must dream. Maya Angelou says, "We are all at once both a composition and a composer. We have the ability not only to compose the future of our own lives, but to help compose the future of everyone around us and the communities in which we live. Our sacred calling." Today, you are invited to take a community-wide survey. This is an important step. I expect that it will be the one of many steps that you'll be called and invited and asked to be a part of. I invite you to answer those calls as they come up. You're invited, everyone actually is invited, who has an interest in the future of Unity of Wimberley and are invited to participate and weigh in, because your input matters. Don't leave it up to others. Don't assume that you're just repeating what others have said. With the volume of consistency and recognition of how things come together, the leaders will be able to see the pattern that you help contribute to what is it that this ministry is now wanting to be. Taking the best of what it's experienced, the things that you cherish, the things that are important, and moving forward into places maybe you've never been. Something that scares you even. Dr. Albert Schweitzer said, "If there's anything I've learned about men and women, it is that there is a deeper spirit of altruism than is ever evident. Just as the rivers we see are minor compared to the underground streams, so too the idealism that is visible is minor compared to what people carry in their hearts, unreleased or scarcely released." This is a big moment in your personal life, a great opportunity for you to take to unleash and release what you carry in your heart, something you may not have even considered or been aware of until you were asked the question. But this is your moment. This is for you. You're not here by accident. Even if you're a visitor for the first time today, you're here by divine appointment. We may have ideas about service needing to be done on a grand scale to be worthwhile sometimes. Mostly we find that in reality we are already planted where we are needed most. It isn't some other place, it's not some other equipment or resource. You're the whole package, and you are there to release what you've brought to contribute to the field of energy that will be completed in what you call spiritual community. Ginger Rue says, "I was having a medical test, routine, but involving sedation. Yet when they wheeled me into the room for the procedure, I found I couldn't stop shaking. Fear gripped me. What if I didn't wake up? What would my daughters do without me? My nurse anesthetist, Erica, is the wife of a former student of mine. Just seeing her friendly face that morning had made me less anxious, but now she looked concerned. 'Are you cold?' she asked when she saw me shaking. I felt silly, but I admitted the truth. 'I'm scared,' I answered. Erica took my hand. It's okay. You know, I get emotional every time I have to be sedated. It's perfectly normal. She let me talk about my daughters and my love and concern for them. Erica has little girls of her own, so she could relate. What a sweet blessing to be understood and reassured. I'd been reading about a missionary who gave up everything to move away and help people. I'd prayed about whether I was about God's business enough here in my safe southern hometown. Maybe someday I would go afar and do mission work, but Erica's kindness reminded me that I could minister to others right where I was. I said a prayer of thanks for Erica before I drifted off, and when I awoke, my family was there. I could hardly wait to go back home to my very own personal little mission field. Clarissa Pinkola Estes affirms us, we were made for these times. Trust that. You have what it takes. You are here. You mean something. We all need to recognize that we belong to a larger community beyond our own individual efforts. You are on a mission. You are connected to others by this mission. Choose for yourselves this day how you will serve and enter into the community of mission. And so to prepare for that, I invite you now to take a deep breath in and settle in. As you breathe, as you relax again, just let the chair support you, as the universe always does, in everything, providing every resource and every gift, every blessing, every nutrient, every molecule of oxygen, everything required for your functioning, for your wholeness, for your health. Reestablish that now by breathing in and allowing the flow of spirit to move throughout your physical being, uniting the balance of energies in your body, energies and ideas in your mind, emotions and feelings, feeling your heart. Balance and upliftment. Spirit always raises us up. Spirit always comes from the inside out. Spirit always leads us by feeding us first and freeing us second. And so we breathe. And so we let go. And so we open in our hearts and allow our hearts now. What do you feel there? Can you feel a stirring, an opening, a movement? With each breath, can you feel an expansion, a warmth, an activity of some kind? Perhaps words are filtering up, pictures or vision, perhaps sweet memories are flowing now, things that comfort you. Something that leads you, beckons you. Curiosity arises as you feel yourself equipped from your heart, fed and nourished now, stable. Something calls you onto the path. Can't see where it goes, where it ends. But clearly before you, the next 2 steps, 3 steps, you see where they are. And it's easy to begin. And you breathe. And you feel. And you look around with your inner eye. And you let go. And you take that step. And as you choose this day, how you will serve, let us now sit, wait, and listen in the depths of the inner sanctuary of our hearts. Let us sit now, wait, listen, hear, and be moved from the heart in the silence now.